Hey, it's me, Mahogany Silverine, of the Mahogany Says podcast on Anchor FM. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First, it's free. Second, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast as well with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So what are you waiting for? Download the free Anchor app on your phone or go to anchor.fm to get started today. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silverine, mahoganysilverine.net.
From author Mahogany Silverine comes the book, Tell Me You Love Me. Tell Me You Love Me is a paranormal and diverse romance novella. This is the first book in the Kenya Clark series. Breaking the laws of magic, a supernatural serial killer is unleashed on the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Special Agent Kenya Clark of the GBI Paranormal Crimes Investigation Unit has been given the case. Her partner hates anything to do with the supernatural. Kenya has a gift that allows her to see the crime through the eyes of the victim. However, in this case, she sees through the eyes of the killer. To solve the case, she must find out where her connection to the killer is. But will she and her partner be able to work together? Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverine is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback editions, as well as the author's website, mahoganysilverine.net. Tell Me You Love Me from author Mahogany Silverine. Order your copy today.
Two Ink Minimum, Book 1 of the Permanent Hangover series by Michelle Prince. Austin Gardner wanted with some fresh air when he stepped down to the alley behind the Permanent Hangover bar and tattoo parlor.
Instead, he found someone who needed help.
His help. Bailey Parson escapes her life in Chicago to find a better one in St. Paul. Not only does she win over the customers and staff with her smart wit and empathy, she wins over Finn as well. But when Bailey's past threatens their relationship, Finn has a decision to make. Just how much of his dark past does he need to unlock to save her? Two Ink Minimum by USA Today bestselling author Michelle Prince. Get your copy on Amazon today.
You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silverine, mahoganysilverine.net.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining me on the Mahogany Show. I'm your host, Mahogany Silverine, author and co-host.
I also write paranormal romance and also sponsor other authors, and we are on today with a great author. This is her first book, but I have been enjoying reading it so far. Please welcome Amy Watkins. Hello, Amy.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to have you. I'm so very excited to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Amy.
Well, I actually don't work as an author. I work full-time as a family medicine provider. I work for the United States Navy, and I am a single mother of three children and one dog. I am originally from Washington, D.C. I got my diploma from Prosper State University and my medical degree from University of Maryland, and here I am just living a life, being a doctor, and now writing books.
So what made you decide to write a book?
Yeah, so I was actually going through a lot of drama and pain in my life. I was in a very abusive relationship that miraculously I escaped from. And then I had a friend who, he actually came to become one of my very best friends, who was going through a lot of things himself. And so we, you know, started talking and starting to build a very strong friendship. And through that friendship and through that stress, I decided to write about our pains to give an inspiration to others. And also because it was a very big stress reliever for me to be able to write about all the things that I was going through And that writing just turned into this novel, and I decided to publish it, and here it is.
Well, it is really awesome. I started reading it day before yesterday, and I was triggered because, like you, I have also been through an abusive relationship. And the first couple of chapters were really hard for me, but I liked how, you know, the flow of the story went. And it's, you know, it's called 200 Letters. And I'm sorry if I didn't mention the title before, but you wrote it based on true story. Is that correct?
Yes,
I can tell. I can definitely tell. Yes. And you know how it is when you're, you know, military and base housing and all that. So novelist is Ethan, the person that's based on your friend, right? You said your best friend. It became your best friend.
Yes, me and my best friend. So my best friend is the one in the book. He eventually ends up in jail for matters that were really outside of his control. And so I decided to write his story as well, because that is something in today's society that often gets overlooked, is mass incarceration.
Yes.
And how many people are unfairly going into jail. And I wanted his story to be heard, mainly because we need change in the criminal justice system.
Yes, we really do. I agree 100% with that. So I like how you also did the parallel of the two lives between Angela and Terrell, and then Ethan and Tracy. And I like how there was just, at the same time, you were like looking at two stories that were similar, but you paralleled them both throughout the book very well. I thought you did a great job.
Yes, absolutely.
And I highly recommend anyone to read this, because you really did a great job. To say this is your first book, you really delved right into it. And this is like, whoa, you were off and running with it.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I put my whole heart into it. I did not hold back.
I can tell.
I think that grabbed you. Yeah.
It does. It's just like copyright info. I wasn't expecting that. And I was upset. I just, on day two, I thought, God, I have stuff to do, but I couldn't put it down. We kind of did today. Oh man, I had my heart. It was just, you know, I mean, the kids, and then she's pregnant, and you know, it's almost like reading my story.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely an emotional roller coaster. That's how I describe it. Because one minute is like freedom, I'm great, and then the next minute is like abuse and turmoil, and then the one minute is like spiritual awakening, and then the next minute is like, oh no, unwanted pregnancy. So it is a huge roller coaster.
Yeah.
The whole book, really. It doesn't take a break with the roller coaster ride. But, you know, and I make a lot of points. Like, there's a lot of lessons that I learned as I was going through it, a lot of lessons that my best friend learned as he was going through all his trials and tribulations. And so I just kind of like put all of it in the book. I didn't hold back on anything.
That's great.
So it's not only is it an emotional roller coaster, but it's also a lot to learn. It's very inspiring, you know. So
yes, definitely. Your characters went through hell, and that is good. I was talking earlier about writing tips and saying, you know, the five essential plots. you need conflict, and that conflict has to develop and become complex, and that's exactly what you did. And what they learned and how they come at, and that was like, that's what held me, you know, like, ooh, I put this down. Like, oh my goodness, I got to see what happened. But that is was really great writing elements, and it's fantastic that you got that right out the gate as the first book. Most people don't do that. But I have to say that I admire that. But you went for it until it was raw and real. And it was just like watching, like some of it, I had to be like, oh, because it was like watching some scenes from my past. And I put it down. It's like, oh, Lord, thank you that I'm not in it. And thank you that she is not in it. I'm like, this has got to be real. This can't be fiction. This is true.
You know, like, other women have come up to me and said exactly the same thing, that for four chapters, like, oh my God, like some people, it freezes them because they've been through things that are similar, and it almost gives you like a flashback of what you went through.
Yeah, it does.
The one thing that one thing that I say is, you know, at least just get to chapter four, because at the end of chapter four, it gives you a whole lot of hope. And so chapter four was also very real. In chapter four, it talks about my miraculous escape from my ex-husband, and it really was miracle that cleanly paved. It was like the path was just laid out in front of me. God, with all my heart, for just paving the way.
Did he open that door?
And I also, for opening that door. And I know that other women who are in relationships like that, if they continue to faith and pray, then they will have to escape too. So, I wanted to
You really have to step out your comfort zone to do it. You know how you can feel trapped real easily in a relationship like that, where they are, maybe they're the sole breadwinner, and you know, you don't have a job. Like, I didn't. This is the military wife, kids on base housing. So, you know, that was my sole income. So that was scary. Mm-hmm. But it's even scarier to stay. So,
yeah.
You know, when you're your 5-year-old says, hey, mom, we can always go live with grandma. You know, yeah, thanks. It's like, you know, it's like, hey,
yes,
we don't have to live with daddy anymore. You know, just leave him here.
Right. It is very hard for some women. And, you know, in my case, even though I work as a doctor, I made a lot of money. My ex-husband took all my money. And that is another form of abuse, the financial abuse, when one partner is taking all the money so that you can't, you know, live or gettings or, you know, do things without their
permission
or escape if you need to be. That's like a huge thing that, you know, you don't think of. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The state of Virginia, their laws are just weird. I'm sorry.
Woo,
but I was reading that because my current husband, he is lived in Virginia Hampton Roads area, I guess, and he has to buy it all. Mm-hmm. Virginia. We entitled to your income when you're making all the See, that would happen in Texas. He'd have been out. Everything would have been yours.
Right.
I'm serious. In
right.
Texas,
and it's not in Virginia either. I have a friend who lives in Florida, and she could not escape her husband because in Florida, you have to have your husband go in with you on a house. Like, you can't do it by yourself. Your husband.
You're by yourself. You have to be in.
Yep.
That's the way it was in New Mexico.
There are some,
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There are some states that are just the law is built to, I guess, keep marriages together, but in that same aspect, it also keeps people in abusive, unsafe relationship, you
right.
know, which is a problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because even New Mexico wanted to split us up where I would have the house during the day and he would have the house at night when he got off work and I was supposed to go to a hotel. Like, you kidding me? I was just supposed to hand this to
right.
my kid and go to a hotel for the night. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's some strange laws in these countries. And then, not only country, but our country. And it varies from state to state, which is really weird, but it seems like it's almost like it's working against the woman in, you know, so many cases. It really does. It's really not for you in Virginia.
Right.
But I could not.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
And then Ethan, on the other hand, and he was abused mm-hmm. because of what Tracy was putting him through. Anyway, because Tracy mm-hmm. was almost mirroring my husband some of the things that she did. Every accused you of being, you know, cheating and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, this man can't even leave that. You know, he can't even breathe.
Right.
This woman is on him.
Right.
But you didn't let him go somewhere. Wait a minute. No.
Right.
Could not catch a break. Dude, why did you marry her? I don't care if that was your kid. You didn't get off that child support. I mean, and save yourself some grief. I mean, you know. But we don't listen to mama sometimes, you know. Mom do the same. Don't
right.
marry him. I married him anyway. But, you know, because mamas know. You know, son, we don't want them to know at that point because we're like, you know, we're grown and we're going to do what we're going to do. But,
right.
yeah, we should really listen.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, okay, you don't have to listen to mom, but just remember.
Yes.
I've been through
yes.
it. Yes.
And
I'm not telling you wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that point up because I wanted to highlight that women aren't the only one in abusive relationships. Men can be abused, and, you know, usually men aren't physically abused. They can be physically abused, but usually mm-hmm. there's other things like financial abuse and emotional abuse and things like that.
Mental abuse, yes.
Yes, all that stuff as well. Yeah, so I wanted to highlight all the... I mean, it basically highlights all the different kinds of abuse, from physical
yes.
to emotional to abuse
mental,
of power.
Yeah.
Mental, yep. So I highlighted all those things.
That is, yeah. So yeah, definitely. I said mm-hmm. you did really a good job paralleling the two stories because it was just like, whoa. You just, I mean, I felt for Ethan, but it's like, oh man, you guys do stuff. She has too much control, and she didn't want to do anything. She didn't want to work. She's like, okay, this is not the 1950s. Two incomes is one. You got to contribute
mm-hmm.
somewhere, not just clean
mm-hmm.
the house. And then you want to take all
right,
the money
right.
for what you wanted to do. You know, no, that's not right.
Right. Right, exactly. And I think that character also shines a light on some women too who are thinking like, you know, put things on a guy. A guy's supposed to do this, a guy's supposed to do that, a guy's supposed to do that. And
right.
yes, guys are supposed to do those things, but we are also supposed to be their partners, their mate. We're not supposed in a marriage, it's not supposed to be me versus him. Well, I'm getting whatever I want, and he could just fend for himself. It's a partnership. You go together,
exactly.
both work together to stay afloat, you know?
Yes. So my next mm-hmm. question for you is, when did you have time mm-hmm. to write this? I know you said you were a doctor, and, you know, my doctor barely had the time to read. So I wondered, how did she write this?
That's a great question, because not only am I a doctor, I'm also a single mom, which is
exactly.
even more time-consuming.
getting to see it.
I continuously stay busy. I cannot stay in the same spot for too long, or else I get fidgety and I have to go do something. So what I usually did is at 8 o'clock, and I suggest every woman to do this, no matter if they're writing a book or not. 8 o'clock every day, my kids know that it is mommy time. So from 8 o'clock until the time I go to bed at 9:30, that is me time. My kids, they can go to the room, watch TV, read a book, something like that. But they all know that at that time, like, they bother me every other moment that I'm home. But at that time, that's my time. And that is when I wrote the book for the most part. That's when I wrote the book. Sometimes when the kids are outside playing or inside playing, I will have them in front of me and I will have my laptop and I will be writing while I'm watching them play, things like that, or they're watching a movie while I'm typing. But I got really creative and when it's time to write the book. But regardless if you write a book or not, if you are a mother, a woman, a person, anybody, we all need time to ourselves. And so I recommend taking about an hour a day just have mommy time or daddy time or whatever time you need, self time, and that way you can not go crazy, because this world will make you go crazy with all the stuff that you have
with
to do.
Everything. Yes, you see patient all day, you gotta come home, cook, get the kids ready for school the next day and set everything out.
Right.
Like, how does she write? but that's a very good, you know, good way to do it, is just set that. Because I know my kids had certain bedtime, you know, that's it. And then I would try to get everything I didn't get done, you know, while they were up and around during the day.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So what was the hardest part for you when you were writing? Was it the editing, or was it actually physically writing it, or?
Physically writing it was not a problem at all. It really flowed. I really got just a lot of inspiration. I really felt like God was just speaking to me. I would be in the shower or be at work, and I would just get, like, pages of things that I could put in there. So that part wasn't very hard, but the editing definitely was hard. Yeah, and then afterwards with, you know, after publishing and all that stuff, the marketing is the worst part, because I don't like, you know, first month, like, put myself out there too much. But when you write, you have to kind of put yourself out there and say, hey, this is my first
read
it, you know, and so that is definitely the hardest part, is the marketing part of it.
Right. You have to learn how to tell what your book is about in 60 seconds. Because sometimes that's about all the attention people will give you, you know, before their eyes glaze over. That little short hit has to run off your tongue in 60 seconds, you know, about what is your book about. You do not have time to say, well, it's... Did you know when you were younger, any time in your life have you ever written before, like poetry or anything like that, as you were growing up?
I wrote a lot. Yeah, as I was growing up, I wrote a lot just for myself, a lot of poetry, some short stories. I even attempted to write a book once before, and then I kind of just got a writer's block, and I just completely stopped, and I didn't touch it I still haven't touched it, and that was 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I have wrote things before, but mainly just for myself. I never put anything out there, so this is the first thing I've actually put out there.
Well, you did an excellent job, I will tell you that much. You really did, because it's touching, it pulls you in, you know, it's like one of those, it's a tearjerker, but it's also, you know, on the note that it ends with, and the resolution of it is just, you know, because it is powerful. I will say, it is powerful. And anyone who has been in a situation like that, and you got that you live through it, the rest of the life, you say so. That is a miracle in itself, because many women, it gets worse when you leave.
Right.
Sometimes,
exactly.
I mean, they come after you, just, you know, your life really is in danger once you leave, more so than when you were there, because they take that, you know, that's a big offense. That's a no-no. You don't leave me. And at least it was for me. I had to actually drive across state lines to get away.
Right.
I mean, I'm laughing to cheat from crying, really, because it is. That's a tough subject. I still haven't even been able to write about it. I'm now getting to where I can talk about it, but even to just put it on paper and then put it out to other people to read. And I think, you know, that's given me courage, and reading your book is like, okay, I'm going to have to go ahead and publish this, because just reading your book was like, wow, okay, no, you did a great job.
Yes.
I mean, even as a writer and then as a just, I mean, it flowed. It really did. And, you know, there's some
you know, other things that, you know, most of the sectors kind of fall into. But no, you did an excellent job. He was like right out of gate. So will you be more books?
Yes, I am planning to write more books. I actually have two ideas of mine right now, and I started writing all. I'm in the beginning stages, so there's only like a couple of chapters. They're both spinoffs. They're both spinoffs of 200 Letters. And basically what I did was I took a small character in 200 Letters, and I put in a whole backstory on that character. Mm-hmm. And I actually did that in 200 Letters, too, because there's a few characters in 200 Letters that are the antagonists. You know, they're doing all these corrupt things. And what mm-hmm. I did is later in the book, I put chapters telling their story, telling why they did these things, what they were. So I only did that with three characters, actually, in the 200 letter book. But what I'm doing with these two new books is I'm taking a spinoff of two more characters from 200 letters, and then I'm doing their backstory. So you can kind of see where they came from, why they think the way they do, why they do the things they do, things like that.
Yes, because I would really like to understand what is going on with Terrell. Terrell, what hit you? I mean, because he's so great. That's the contrast. I'm like, where did this boy come from? Because his parents just seem like, you know, they ain't even each other's language, and they got it going on.
Right.
But, you know, so what happened to him? You know,
exactly.
I'm a little curious, you know.
Right.
Because he's such a character that you're like, oh my God. But what happened to him? His parents are great, you know. She loves her daughter-in-law and, you know, the father-in-law. Mm-hmm. And there he's sending her presents, and he ain't even get her anything. Just ignored her. I mean, just, I don't know, girl. No. I was with the other friends, was it Rhonda, you know, just mm-hmm. bullet ready.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Just go ahead, you know, stop that right now. You don't need to worry about that. The divorce feet in the ground.
You know. Yep, and that's a true friend right there, like Rhonda.
Exactly.
And
we gonna handle this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, she's a ride or die. Like, she's like, no, I got my girl back, you know.
That's
so
right.
And
she has to put up with it. She gonna not go make her cry today.
Right.
Like, right, no, I'm not going to make no sense into him. I'm just going to end it right here. Yeah, we're going to play grit ball. Like, what is that? Medea, we're going to play some grit ball, and then we're just going to bury him. Nobody found him. We don't know. He left. We don't know what happened.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I want to say, you know,
Tracy.
That
Brenda. Yes. I was with her, though. Yeah, I'm not good, but I agree. Totally, with what she said. I agree. Yes, we'll take Hannah and Tracy. Yep. They're both with us. All right, because no.
Right.
Hey, Angela and Ethan, you know, they got all the kids. They can have a great time. You know, that's just me going on my little tangent. But, you know, yes, I'm glad there will be more books because, and then it's most difficult for writing in the first person. So I was just talking about this the other day with some of the authors, and writing in first person is difficult. It's not easy for everybody. It's easy to be a narrator, but when you're writing it from that first person point of view, it's a little more difficult, especially it's like, okay, well, how am I going to explain this? Because it wasn't actually there.
Mm-hmm.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
To say,
thank
I mean,
you.
It's not, there was no confusion. You who was talking, you knew what was happening. It was very clear. It was easy to, I won't say easy to read because there was some triggers, you know, but
yeah.
I'm taking breath right then. Something's good got to come out of this. You just, you know, go ahead, flashback. You need to sit over there while I finish this. Because it was that hit. He's like, it was so bad.
Thank you.
There had to be a light in, I mean, Angela's face, because I don't, I don't think I had that much, like, you know, well, God's going to take care of it. You know, mine, I was like, I can't endure this. You know, I know I'm supposed to, and these Christians were not supposed to get divorced. But this, no. Mm-mm. But I admire the fact that she was trying to, you know, keep everyone together. And I understood her. And it wasn't like, girl, why don't you just leave? I mean, what is wrong? You know, there's nothing wrong. You're trying to do the right thing.
Right.
Despite
what's
happening to you. Because she given it all to God, even though it was painful, extremely emotionally, physically painful. But she stood. She kept on standing until, you know, when the door for her to leave. Because in that, she learned, like you said, she learned some lessons, though. But I feel bad for Ethan. But I really do. I was crying for him, too, because I felt so bad.
It's just,
I'm trying. Yes. But, you know, I do not condone hitting a woman, but in Ethan's case. you could just
Ethan was
that's
very
a good man.
Strong.
Yeah, that's
very
a good man.
Strong.
I don't know. Yeah. Right to Amy's face. No. Not any man I have ever known. It was just that there, like.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, he tried too.
Yeah.
Again, he had the faith and he wanted to do the right thing. And, you know, people who have good hearts and who are good, you know, essentially that's what happens because they have moral conviction and they want to do what is right. And sometimes it is not easy to do the right thing.
Right.
It's really, there's lots of opportunities, you know. Yes, and that's exactly what happened. She took it.
Right.
Because the man knew it when she said, oh, you don't have to worry about it. I'm on the pill. And I'm like, oh. Before I read it, I said, no, no. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. And yeah,
boy.
I'm like, no, keep using the condom, man. Come on. I was I'm definitely with Naomi. Now, you know she did that to trap you. Now, you know. Come on.
Yes, indeed.
Most definitely. Well, I'm going to take a short break, and we're going to get some water, breath, and we'll be right back after the short music break.
All
right,
sounds
to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silverain. MahoganySilverain.net. Thank you. We are back, and we have just been talking with author Amy Watkins, who is also a doctor from the Washington, D.C. area, and her book is 200 Letters, which is a thrilling ride, a roller coaster ride of ups and downs, twists and turns, but a great read. Mm-hmm. I definitely, yes. Holly says, please pick up this book, 200 letters, you won't be disappointed. So tell us, Amy, what are your plans for the next 2 weeks? You were telling us that you were going to take some of the characters. Now, will they also be called 200 letters, or is this going to be like a series?
Be a completely different book, completely different title. The gist of it is, well, I'll talk about one of the books. One of the books is going to be about a white man who ends up adopting a black girl, a young black girl, and kind of the things that he has to face, and very eye-opening for him about what his daughter has to face, things that he didn't realize, you know, as a white man. And so that's one book, and then a different book is going to be about two young girls who basically are growing up in the city, and they are growing up way too fast. And they get into some trouble. And so, you know, as a lot of young girls do. And so it kind of goes over their journey. So that's the gist of what these next two books are about, what the ideas I have. But it'll be a completely different title than 200 Letters. But they are like small characters in 200 Letters that I am kind of taking and doing the background story of.
Nice. I like that. Two interesting stories. Most definitely.
Yes.
So tell me, did you always want to be a doctor?
Yes, I decided that I wanted to be a doctor in high school. I took an anatomy class, and I just fell in love, and I was like, this is what I want to do. And I just went straight through. I went straight through college, went straight through medical school, then I became a doctor. So I have been a doctor now for 13 years. It's crazy.
Wow.
Quickly, time passes.
Yes.
And, you know, I've always loved writing, too. You know, like I said, short stories and poetry and things like that. And so I didn't think that I was going to be able to do both, but here I am. So I'm very happy.
See, there you go. You never know what you're going to do until you actually do it. Yes. That's amazing.
Exactly.
And the fact that you even take time to do that.
Yes.
Exactly. Because going to medical school is no joke. And then your residency and all of that, and, you know, paying back the loans, and that's got to be a lot.
Oh, yes. It is a lot. It is a lot. And I was a single mom in medical school, which is even more hard.
Yes. See, so that makes your story even more amazing, because most of your medical students do not have any other responsibilities other than themselves, you know. They could be at the hospital 24-7, just about. But, yeah, so what was that like?
Woo! It was torture, to tell you the truth. I mean, it was no sleep. I mean, I would, you know, go to school or work, you know, because in your last 2 years of medical school, you are basically working in the hospital. So I would go to go there at, like, 4 or 5 in the morning, work until 7 at night, get my baby, have to feed him. You know, have to stay up late with him because he was just a baby at that time. And so it was, there were days that I went without sleep, literally, like several days in a row that I went without sleep. And so it was very hard, but you never know. This one thing I learned from that experience is you never know how much you can accomplish until you actually go through it and try to do it. Because I would have been like, a day without sleep. Oh, no, I'm not doing that. And there were times that I went several days without sleep. And just by the grace of God, I was still able to get through and graduate and, you know, become a family medicine doctor, even with all that I had on my plate. So it was torture, but it was also like...
That's an inspirational story right there, too, because that all these obstacles you had to go through, and you still made it through, and you still got the degree and the doctor. So it's like, wow. Yeah. And you had a baby at the same time. That is harder.
Yep.
Through college with a baby. I had two when I graduated from college. They were both. One was in diapers when I graduated. So the other was in preschool.
So you know how it is too. I mean,
I can't imagine having to work at the hospital, but I do know what it's like to do nursing and trying to write a paper at the same time. They're trying to study while the kids use a phone to be sleeping. But my daughter and I used to make a game out of it. She was, you know, she was three, and so we just try to like say, okay, well, you point to the picture and I'll tell you what it is. And so she had, okay, tell me about this picture, mommy. And that's the way I studied. So we had visual aids. So we made a game.
Oh yeah.
And that was just to keep it interesting.
I did the same thing.
Really?
I would read to my son. I would read my medical textbooks to my son and pretend like it was a bedtime story. And he didn't know because he was a baby.
Well,
like my voice. And I would do practice examinations on him, listen to his heart and lungs and stuff, and look in his eyes.
Aww.
I practiced on my child. Oh, yeah.
That's good practice.
Say that again.
That was very good practice. Yeah. You know, you had a patient right there.
Yeah, it sure did. I sure did. It was great practice. So it's doable for any woman who's listening who had a baby, you know, young
yes,
or whatever.
Please don't let that stop you.
Do not let it stop you. Yes, just still pursue your dreams and do anything that you want to do. You know, sometimes that baby actually accentuates, because for me, sometimes having a baby, I was able to I knew more about babies. So when we went through OBGYN, when I went through OBGYN or when I went through pediatrics, they were like, oh, what, you know, what do their babies do at this age? And I already knew because I was a mom.
See, because you had a baby.
Right.
There you go. You had a baby. And everybody.
Yeah, so I knew everything. I was like, oh, yeah, I know what babies do at this. Oh, I know what they can eat. You know? So it actually, and then I could identify with patients better because they're like, oh, I'm a mom. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, I'm a mom too. I completely understand, you know, what you're going through. Mm-hmm. So those life experiences can really help you with your career path and things like that. So
yes.
It's not bad, you know. It's a lot, but in some ways it's beneficial.
I say so because male OBs, they can't experience what their female patients are going through, but
right.
Female OBs, mm-hmm. Yes, please have a child right. So you will not sit here in judgment of this poor woman in front of you because you don't understand
right.
When she's trying to explain to you her body and what her body does. It doesn't have to be in that book.
Right.
It's what her body is doing.
Right, exactly.
Because
I'm
you know, just like, arguing back and forth. No, this is what my body is doing. You know, it's just like, no, you're not supposed to do that. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not an textbook, but.
Sorry that my body did not read the textbook.
That's right. My body, not a surgical journal. It has a mind of its own.
Right.
And this baby wants to come in.
Yep, exactly. And you see that in medicine where there's, you know, doctors who have no life experience because all they did was study, and they have no kids, no wife, no whatever. And so they can't relate to their patients versus me.
Yeah.
I've had kids.
And see, you could.
I've had a wife. I've been in, you know, had a marriage and failed a marriage. So
there
I
you go.
Very strongly to a lot of people and a lot of my patients. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think doctors do much better when they do have some type of, you know, experience with life or even life
yes.
experience sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, because you can tell the ones that have no bedside manner. They just, you
right.
know, there's bad news. They just rattle it off like they're reading a medical book to you. And you're like, in English,
right.
I don't know what you just said.
Right.
It sounds horrible, but can you tell me what it is? So I love my doctor. She's very down to earth, and she talks to me as a person. And she asks me questions.
Yes.
And you know, I live in Milwaukee, so when I see her in the grocery store, she comes up to me and gives me a big hug. So I couldn't do that if I lived in a big city. But,
mm-hmm.
but here, you know, anytime I see her, she's like, no, if you just call me. Just let me know what's going on before you go to the ER, and I'll meet you there. And she does. Every time I tell her I'm going,
wow,
I'm off, and she meets me right there.
That's amazing.
Definitely.
That's great.
And, you know, it's not always but when you have that personal, you know, that bedside manner to help your patients get mm-hmm. something, because they're looking to you. You're the one with all the experience, and they're scared, angry, hurt, frustrated.
Right.
They don't feel good.
Right.
And they're trying their best to tell you what's wrong, you know, and they're trusting you.
Right.
So I think a lot of them
yeah.
need to learn, hey, you know, you might be God in you know, in your eyes, but to this person, you know, they don't know. They're just they're trusting you.
Right.
But they're alive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's amazing. So you
yeah,
you have an amazing, you know, career and now you're writing, so now you've got this other side to you. That I think that is wonderful. It's a great combination. I have met some other authors who are like nurses and my first doctor I've interviewed, so so I'm excited. I was excited to have you on tonight. And I have really
Thank
enjoyed
you.
Talking with you. So
Thank
tell
you
us, like,
much.
What's the best part of your day for your normal day-to-day?
The best part of my normal day? the best part of my normal day? I actually have several favorite parts of the day. I love first thing in the morning. because I love energy. And usually what I do first thing in the morning is I just talk to God, which I really love that. And I listen for God's voice. So that's one of my favorite parts of the day. I, of course, love my 8 o'clock in mommy time. I love that too. That's my second favorite part. And then the other part is when I first come home from work and my kids and the dog run down the steps and they're just like greeting me and they're just like happy to see me and want to tell me about their day and all that kind of stuff like that. There are multiple parts in the day that I really enjoy in my life.
Oh, so are your kids still young or are they much older now?
Am I still what?
Are your children still young or are they older now, like in teenage?
My children range from age 16 to age 5.
Yes, you do say
a lot. An older one and a younger one, and then one right in between.
It's quite a gap.
Yep, so they keep me on my toes. They definitely keep me on my toes.
Three together and the last three together.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't hear. You were breaking up a little bit.
Eugenie?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, all right, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I was asking, what was your favorite part about publishing?
I went through Amazon to publish my book, and it was a pretty easy process. So I didn't think that it was going to be that easy. I thought it was going to be like this long turmoil or whatever, but it was pretty easy. Basically, you just ask a few questions, fill out a few forms, and then upload your book, and that's pretty much it. So I did like that, how easy it was. I will say that releasing this book, when I first released it, was very anxiety provoking because I was I put my heart into this book, right? And I was like, when I put it out there, I was like, oh my God, I just put my whole heart out for the world to see and judge and have opinions about. And so that was very anxiety provoking to have done that. But the first time that somebody came to me and said that my book changed their life or made them think about things on a different level, it just made all that much worth it, you know? So, yeah.
Wow.
It's very exciting to have gone through this whole process.
Honestly, I think that you have made a wonderful, like, been an example, and I know you went through some hell, but it's turned into this great testimony for others who are probably going through it right now. And then listening to you and reading your book, it's like, okay, then I can get out too. Because I think that's a huge part of it. That is, I mean, just amazing. And if anyone listening would like to call in and maybe ask Ms. Watkins some questions about the book, the number to call is 914-205-5632. You can call that number and press 1 if you have a question, and I'll let you ask the question on air. But, yeah. So it has been, I really like that. Oh, I see we have a caller already. Do you want to take a question?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. Hi, caller, you're online with this. What is your question?
How you doing? This is Ronnie, a.k.a. Rhonda from the book.
All right.
I wanted to just let my friend, though, I am so, so, so proud of her and everything that she has been accomplishing because a lot of people are reading the book and in reading the book, they get the feeling that, wow, this woman has gone through everything in her life and she has.
Everything.
And she has gone through every single thing and the book doesn't even, you know, detail every single thing that we've been through together. And she is just amazing how she gets through things, how she still shows these huge amounts of love to people and just how she is. I'm just so proud of her. And I just wanted to let her know that I'm listening and you inspire me.
Thank you.
Well, yes, you inspire me too.
I'm going to
say it's the best friend, Rhonda, right here. Yeah.
Yes, this is her.
I said, I totally agree with Rhonda.
Yeah, a lot of people love her.
Yes, we're going to take care of it.
She's the fire guy.
I think people get the impression that I'm like this crazy hood chick. But
no, not at all.
I am like a gospel recording artist. I'm the nicest person in the world, but I do
but
not
you can
play
catch
when
these
it comes
hands.
To
That's
my
right.
Play. That's right.
That's
I
right.
Am
you can still catch these hands.
Mm-hmm. Not soft, okay?
I like this. Yeah. Save and not soft. I like that.
I don't play them yet.
No, you're still a human being. You can't handle business for me, too.
Yeah, you can't come for my fam, man. I would die for her.
I love that. I love
absolutely.
That. You gotta have that one friend that you know it's just about to pop off. That's the one you want right there.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm so blessed to have her in my life too, because
we all
like
need a Rhonda.
We have been through things. Yes, we all need a Rhonda. Yes, we do. We all need a Rhonda.
I'm
going to
get me a shirt made. I'm going to get a shirt made that says we all need a Rhonda.
We all need a Rhonda. We do. We need that Rhonda. Because I'm serious. If I had someone that was in my corner like that, I think I would have left a lot sooner. That I had.
Yeah.
I had my back. But when you're in it by yourself and you don't know anybody there because you're on a base where you've only been there for a few months, and you don't know anybody really because your husband won't let you talk to anybody or have friends. So, you know, I was grateful for a lady who was in the Army who was our next door neighbor. So I got to know her. She wasn't tough like Rhonda, but she was, you know, she and hers were like, look, you need to go come over here. And they did.
Right.
They took care of me and my child. It was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And
they got
me all the way back home in Texas.
He definitely tried to alienate her from her friends, but we just weren't having that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing because they know almost immediately it's some kind of insecurity. And through counseling, I've learned that people like that cannot be counseled. They cannot be cured because they actually believe they are not wrong. In order to get help, you have to believe that you are wrong. And he never did. He does not believe he is wrong in anything that he does. And that's exactly the way I was reading Terrell. It's just like, I don't know how you say it. Terrell or Terrell?
Terrell.
Terrell, okay. Yeah, does not believe he was in the wrong at all. You know, it was your fault. You made me mad. You made me punch you. You know, it had nothing to do with him and his, you know, anger, but everything was your fault. So people like that cannot be helped. They can't. Until they're willing to admit they have a problem.
Those people that are listening, if you have not got this book, get it. It is a book that you cannot put down. I don't mean to take up too much airtime, but I just want to hurt
her. No,
out.
You're fine.
Tell them, I love her so much. I have recommended this book to a lot of my friends, even, you know, some of my famous friends, and they read that book within a couple of days. That book has 20 chapters. People that don't really read that book, it is that good.
Yes. Well, see, there you go. You got it. Rhonda told y'all now, not just me, but she told you. Now y'all listening. Get it. 200 letters. It's available on Amazon, Kindle, and paperback.
Yep.
So, and do you have a website, Amy, that readers can get in touch with you or find out more about what you're going to do in the future?
Yep. So you can go to Facebook, and it's under 200 letters, the page 200 letters, and you can contact me through there. You can also get my book through that website. I do a lot of posts about things that are going on with life, inspirational things about rape and abuse or social injustice. And I also do a lot of scripture quoting on there, some news articles on there, and there's also numbers for people who need help, for people who are maybe in an abusive relationship or have some depression. person or, you know, things like that. I post numbers on my website and websites where you can get help for those kind of things.
All right. Well, yeah, so definitely find out what's going on. You know where to go. Go to Facebook or go to Amazon. Please get this book. Check it out for yourself. Share it with your friends. Tell them about it. Because this is definitely a read.
Yes.
Yes, it is worth reading. And everybody needs a Rhonda. I will say it again.
Yes.
Get yourself a Rhonda. She's out
Please
there. You can
do.
Find her. Yes, get your Rhonda. See, you already have a promoter right here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep promoting as well. So, yes, definitely. I'll keep promoting it and say, you know, put this on the list of the top books. Definitely. This has been one that has really blessed me on a personal level, too. I think it's the second book I've talked about this year that's actually touched me like that. So I commend you on writing this book and sharing your life.
Thank you. Yes,
that
thank you.
Amazing.
And you need to share yours, too, because there's women who need to hear that they're not alone in this, that they've gone, you know, that there are other women out there who have gone through this and survived and made it and thrived on the other side. You know, we all need to start having that talk with each other, you know?
Yes, definitely. And there are lots of authors who are, and if you want to classify it, it's kind of a romance, but it really has a lot more drama in it. So I wouldn't say it's a quote-unquote romance, but there are lots of authors that will get behind you. There's another lady, Lucy, I can't remember her last name, but she also talks about her struggle and her life. And she actually has a Facebook page where she talks to other women and actually counsels and helps them as well because she went through it. So you have a lot of people in the community that also help with that too, to get your book out and your message. And I'll share it on all three of mine and just it is, I think this is something that's really important.
Yes.
You know,
very much.
And
so.
Look for red flags. If you are dating, red flags.
Yes.
Tell you what to do.
Yes.
Telling you how to dress. You know, it's like you have their permission for everything. Don't even care the opposite sex. If they ask you a question, you have to look to your spouse to see if you can answer the question. No. Mm-mm. Red flag. He tries to order for you. It's not that romantic at that point.
Right.
You're not even allowed to pick your own food off the menu. That's not romantic.
Right.
Okay? That's not
right.
Even being dominant. That's just controlling. There's a difference between, you know, a dominant personality and a domineering personality.
Right.
And the Terrells of the world. Yes. So thank you for coming on the show tonight. I've been talking to you and I've enjoyed meeting you too, Rhonda.
Same here. I've enjoyed talking to you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm so
glad
so
you
for
came. Yes. I would love to have you again when your next book comes out. So give me a heads up and we'll bring you back, okay? Let us know how you're doing.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to us tonight. Author Amy Watkins has been with us, and it's been a great time. And once again, Mahogany Says, get 200 letters to the book. Get it today. Guys, blessings, peace, and love.
You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you, and good night.